today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
It's jazz with a punk edge, each part equally showcased. Hey Rock in the Suburbs, it's Paul Hayden from Wilmette, Illinois, calling with a concert review of the inaugural Sound and Gravity Festival, which took place in the Bricktown Avondale neighborhoods of Chicago from September 10th through the 14th. It was curated by former Pitchfork Festival co-founder Mike Reed, who had been running that festival for 20 years before it was dropped by the owner of Pitchfork, Condé Nast. Reed decided to continue with the festival, and he wanted to do it his own way this time. And so what he did, he came up with a concept that said, okay, I own this club called Constellation, and that club focuses on jazz, contemporary classical, electronic, and experimental rock. He wanted to book bands that would conceivably play his club. So he came up with more than 50 acts, and he was able to get 7 venues within a 1-mile radius to accommodate various performers over that 5-day period. He said he wanted to create a walkable, choose-your-own-adventure festival, and I think he succeeded. The first night was pretty easy to manage, but the second night had a lot more going on. And, you know, when it comes to festivals, sometimes you need a spreadsheet to figure out who you want to see and when you need to be there. And in this case, because everything was so close, it was pretty easy to navigate. I went with a friend for the first 2 nights of the festival. And night 1 was considered a pre-event, which meant just a handful of shows, so fairly easy to get around. The opener we saw was a Mute Duo, who played on an outdoor deck along the Chicago River on an absolutely perfect summer night. And it really suited their sound. They're kind of an atmospheric band, and the passage that they played started out on an airy sound, building into a somewhat more invigorating middle section before ending with a cathartic, tension-filled release. The audience was really locked in, and the band, true to their name, did not say anything, but I think they thought they put on a good show, and I would say that everybody there was impressed and considered it a great way to start the festival. headliner on the first night is one of the reasons we wanted to attend the festival. Mdou Mokhtar, who I have yet to see and was really looking forward seeing how he'd take that sound and bring it to a live audience. He did not let up for 1 second of his one-hour show. If you're looking for ballads or slow blues, you're going to be disappointed. This was a full-tilt guitar heroic set, and the drummer who really helped bring the sound was what I would say beyond propulsive. He kept the crowd moving and grooving for the entire set, and by the end, even the stoic bass player was cracking a smile. It was a great way to end the first night. Night two, I can describe it as more bands, more venues, but not a problem. As I said, the festival made it pretty easy to pop in and pop out, and we did that in the beginning, checking out a variety of shows, but our focus was on the club, the Beat Kitchen, which was about a 15-minute walk from kind of the central area where they had four of the venues. The first band we saw there was Basic. They are in all caps, and they are a trio consisting of Chris Forsyth on guitar, Douglas McCombs of Tortoise on bass, and Michael Patrick Avery on percussion. Their sound is chiming guitars, fuzzed out bass, and sometimes that bass sounds like a second guitar, and funky percussion, along with a drum machine. Avery was center stage for a reason, as I think he is the anchor to the band, calling out different beats on the drum machine and augmenting it with whatever percussion he had at hand. They played a set of groove-based instrumentals that held your attention and moved your feet. According to Bandcamp, think of Yola Tengo on a Congotronics bender. brings us to the main event of the second night and the other reason we really wanted to attend this festival. It was a chance to see the Mesthetics and James Brandon Lewis. They played selections from their fantastic self-titled album. They opened with That Thang, which is an absolute barn burner, and they never let up from there. I'm going to plagiarize my friend's comments on the show, which pretty much are in line with my own. What we really enjoyed was the rhythm section, who you could tell had been playing together for a long time because they were immediately locked in. And you've got a world-class sax player like James Brandon Lewis, who really does take things to another level. About halfway through the show, he took a break and guzzled two water bottles in, I think, about 15 seconds. He was really working hard. And let's not forget the guitarist, Anthony Parag, who put the music into a different stratosphere, trading licks with Lewis throughout the night. It's jazz with a punk edge, each part equally showcased. Throw an affable Brendan Canty with some commentary along the way. Great volume, crystal clear sound, and in particular, they were capable of brilliance, whether going ballistic or dialing it back to a slow groove. Not an easy trick. In the end, confidence, power, tightness, electrifying at will. That was a great way to end night two of the festival. And while I don't have anything to report on the other nights, I'll say that I hope they do it again next year. I think that they have a really good idea, a really good foundation of how to put on a festival. I think the venues were all really accommodating and really appropriate for the acts there. I didn't have any trouble finding a spot either at the beginning or during a show. As I mentioned, that 15-minute walk was the furthest we had, and it was such a beautiful night that it really didn't matter. It was just a great night to be in the city and to support local music. And like I said, I hope to do it again next year. And that's it for me. I'll catch you next time. If you're looking for ballads or slow blues, you're going to be disappointed.